the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, though the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. Coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. It's all about you. It's all about you. You deserve, though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, though the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to a heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Hi. My message is on contentment today. And I was just trying to give us a little bit of training ahead of time. One of the things that that can be the enemy of contentment is the pace that which we live in. Moving. Got to be here on time, got to be there on time. So I thought it'd be okay to just slow it down. It's okay to come to church and slow it down. And hopefully the Holy Spirit speaks to us today through me. About contentment. And I asked to play that last song, and I should have had him play that song first, because that song affects me every time I hear it. so we can just be content for a minute, and then we'll get into the message. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this church family. I thank you for everyone here. I thank you for blessing me with this opportunity. And thank you for what you've shown me as far as contentment goes in my life. Help us leave today with a new understanding of contentment, one that comes from you. Amen. So, we'll be reading from Philippians 4 today. Philippians 4, 11 through 13. This is Paul speaking, and we're going to see as we begin to talk about Paul and his contentment. I'm not sure if there's a better role model for contentment in the Bible than Paul. Not that I speak from want, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being content and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I've got a joke. I got a couple jokes, so forgive me today. But if I don't tell a joke soon, I may cry up here the whole time. A middle-aged woman was walking through town and noticed a very old, very content-looking man sitting on his porch. Very content, very old-looking. "Excuse me," she said, "I just couldn't help noticing how happy you look. Tell me, what is the secret of your long, happy life?" "Well," the man responded, "I eat whatever I want, fatty foods, sugar, bullet coffee. I never exercise, I haven't worked for years, and I've been drinking for as long as I can remember." "Wow," the woman said. "And how old are you exactly?" "28. So, what is contentment? I thought it would be a good idea to kind of define contentment before we got into it. And so, there's what I'll call a Webster's definition of contentment, and then there's some biblical definitions of contentment. The biblical definitions are pulled from the two times content is used in those verses that I read. But first, contentment. Contentment is a state of happiness and or satisfaction. That's what I would call the Webster's definition. That's what we know of it. Biblical definition, and I said there's two. The first word, the Greek, as used in that verse, is autarkos. And that means sufficient for oneself, strong enough or possessing enough to need no aid or support. Being independent of external circumstances, being contented with one's lot, with one's means. This is interesting. Though the slenderest. That was the way it was written. So this first biblical definition of contentment could be summarized as being satisfied with where you are at in life. Satisfied. Even if you are only comfortable by the slightest of margins. And maybe comfortable. I don't want to say comfortable. Even if being only satisfied by the slightest of margins. The next word, used a little later on, is cortazo. That means to feed with herbs, grass, hay, to fill, to satisfy with food, to fatten with food, or to fulfill or satisfy the desire of anyone. So, The second uses of just of this word, I think I can basically sum up with a simple phrase. Post-Thanksgiving. We are content when we are satisfied with food, or even oversatisfied, and when our desires are met. Those are the two definitions. Now, I've been thinking about this message for a while, and I thought it would be a good idea to ask some other people what they thought contentment meant. And I was going to have some people come up here and talk, Allison, Mitchell, Savannah, maybe Luke, my kids, but that didn't go over well. So, I'll say what some folks told me. Melissa's dad said, contentment is tranquility or peace. That was good. Melissa's mom said, liking where you are at in life. Very good. And then went on to say, even something as simple as liking your job. Just in case you may not like your job. Mitchell said, receiving something, even just one thing. And then he went on to say, if you are not content with what you already have, then you'll just keep wanting more and more, and you'll never be content. And then he said, Dad, those answers are good. Are you going to use those? Savannah said, content means being okay with how things are. You have to understand that you can't fix everything, and it's okay. And I think she probably was talking directly to me in that. Dad, you can't fix everything. Stop asking me about everything. Stop badgering me about my homework or whatever it is. So I said, okay. Lucas, I made this one up for Lucas, but I think it fits. Contentment for Lucas is getting likes on his TikTok videos. And if you ask him, I'm sure he'll show you some. And he may be recording one right now. So after defining contentment, I tried to think back to the days of my youth. I wanted to rediscover ways I was impacted by my surroundings and by my family, and how those experiences have led to my either current state of contentment or lack of contentment. So, I came up with the top five ways that experiences in my youth taught me to be content. First one is my dad's baby blue Volkswagen. Beauty, huh? That's a nice picture of A1. That's not his. His was more rusty. Didn't look as nice as that one. Let me tell you the story of this car. And I did research on this. I wanted to find out about this miracle. But my dad, we lived, I looked it up on Google Maps. We lived 1.6 miles away from high school. And I would do after school things. I was in sports and did a lot of sports. And my dad would pick me up from school afterwards. The amazing thing is that I could hear my dad start the car from school while I was waiting for him to pick me up. So I always knew he would be there soon. I could hear it start. He would drive 1.6 miles. I mean, I didn't know that then, but I knew it now because I wanted to determine how many miles. And then he would be there. And honestly, nowadays, when I have nightmares, I hear the car, and they're always framed in this baby blue color. Because I would sit at the school and be like, oh, the car's going to come. Everybody's going to know it's me. But that car made me content because, well, honestly, I've never heard a car that loud again. And I'm pretty content with every other car on the planet and every car that I've ever had. Okay, next, hand-me-downs. Everybody remembers hand-me-downs. So some of us use hand-me-downs today, but I just want to run you through some things maybe my mom said or maybe your mom said. Of course you can wear your brother's underwear. It might be big for a year or two, but it does fit. Who says those are girls' clothes? Hand-me-downs made me content because I pretty much survive in any ridiculous outfit that I wear today, ask my wife. My kids wonder why I cannot be embarrassed. You're going to get some answers on that today. Kids, you have no idea. And have you ever worn corduroy pants? Okay, the next thing to help me be content. Or not content. Shoe fixer. Does anyone remember shoe fixer? Shoe fix it. Shoe paint. Does anybody remember this miracle? It made your shoes like brand new, according to the marketing, right? Except when you used it, it just basically looked like painted dirt. They honestly look better dirty. But painting my shoes made me content. And if you guys don't know what that is you'd get a pair of shoes, you'd wear them out because you were a kid, they'd get all dirty, and your mom would be like, you have ruined those shoes that we just bought you a day ago. You are going to fix them by putting this paint on. But painting with shoes made me content because, well, I had no choice. Those were my shoes. I wasn't getting another pair. And back up to hand-me-downs, my mom might say, do you want to wear your sister's shoes? No. Give me the paint, please. Okay, here's another interesting one. Conserving water. Okay, I know it was up there. You guys could read it ahead of time. But I'm a little confused about this, and I think it may have just been a dream. But I'm pretty sure there was a point in time where parents were concerned about conserving water. Is that right? Am I thinking about that wrong? Because I can tell you right now, today, that is not the case. And honestly, I think something might be wrong with today's water. Like, I think today's water has lost its ability to clean. It must be the case. Because I used to be able to get clean in about, 5 to 7 minutes. And nowadays, in order to achieve the same amount of cleanness, that water now takes 30 minutes to 5 hours. So I think maybe after this message, I may go and talk to some scientists about this, see if they can start studying that. Something's wrong with the water. We probably shouldn't even be drinking it. But kids, I've got bad news for you if the water is in a downward trend like this. Your kids may have to shower for days in order to get the same level of cleanliness that you have. And here is the other thing is, just like you guys, they may come out of the shower and not even be clean still, somehow. The water ran, but nothing on you is wet. You've either been in there long enough that your hair is dried, and you smell again, or I just don't even understand how that works. And what's interesting, something might be in the water, it drains phone batteries. Being in there drains the phone battery. The phone is all the way down. I don't understand, so conserving water made me content because I knew back then that I could get clean with very little water. I could make do with a little. Okay, fear of my parents. Doesn't need an explanation. I think it's some kind of pre-2K phenomenon or something because I can tell you that I, today, am still afraid of my parents. Like, I'm afraid of my dad. My kids, they're not afraid of me. And my name, sometimes to them, Savannah, is Eric. And I'm not Eric. I'm Dad. There's no Eric. We're not on a first name basis here yet. So, I remember, if I even thought about talking back, I was already knocked out. They knew before I would even think it, and then I would wake up, I would be bruised, and It'd be an apology. I'm sorry. You must have known that I was going to talk back somehow, but it will never happen again. And okay, so my fear of parents taught me to be content because they would just kill me. So I love to be alive. I'm content. Okay, I know I said five, but it's funny. I was looking at this. I just kept coming up with things. I didn't even need to stop at five. I have about 500, but I'm going to stop at the next one. Okay, this one is a bonus. This is eating everything on your plate. And so we had no dog in our house, so this was actually truly eating everything on your plate. There's like nowhere, unless you're hiding it in your shoes that you just painted, you're eating the food, okay? And this is something our kids don't understand. And I'm telling you, this, I'm not going to say traumatized, I'll say affected me, okay? Because you've had a great day at school, probably not, probably three Fs I got or whatever. Come home, what's waiting? Oh, the house smells like tuna noodle casserole. Oh, I know. Now, I love tuna nowadays. I don't know how I moved from that. But you come home from school and you smell in the house, and I'm like, oh my goodness. I'm going to go put my pajamas on right now, and I will just get ready to sit at this table for like the next week and a half till you eat everything, because you're going to finish everything on that plate, and then you'll get to go to bed. Can I just sleep here? No, you're dead. And if you're talking back, I just knocked you out. So, eating everything on your plate taught me to be content, because whatever you need on that plate, that's what you need. Okay? You'd be happy with it. We might not have much, but this is what we have today. Okay? So those are some funny things, and those were funny ways of looking at contentment. But I want us to take a look at our culture today. And I want us to be honest. We are just about the least content people who ever lived. And it's our fault, but it's not our fault, okay? Everything in our society is telling us and teaching us to not be content. Where do you hear fast? Fasting, concept of that. Fast from anything. We don't know how to do it. If you want it, go get it. You don't need to save. You don't need to have patience. You don't need to be content with what you have. We have trained ourselves not to. And we're being bombarded with things every day that tell us, you need this. You may think you're content, but you're not. You're only a credit card or whatever away from just being like, I just want that. I just want that. So, I was researching this whole concept of contentment in society. I found a Gallup poll, and it was taken about a decade ago, so this is even 10 years ago. And the title of that poll was, Where Do Americans Find Personal Contentment? This is interesting. Poll asked participants to rank their level of satisfaction on a scale of 1 to 10, and then they got some percentage out, but this is basically what level of, okay, they talked about kind of contentment, and they talk about contentment and happiness. We're going to talk about that later too, but let me tell you the numbers. The highest rated area where folks find contentment is their family, 62. That's good. Lowest rated area is money, okay. We sure do worry about our money, but in the middle stuff, all these numbers are just interesting, okay. Look at religion. Religion is middle of the road, 46. I got news for us as Americans. Maybe not in here, preaching to the choir. But are we finding contentment with religion? And of course, we don't, when we talk about religion here, we're not talking about religion, we're talking about Jesus. Okay? That's our religion. Are we finding contentment in Jesus? And as a society, we're not finding, 46%. Cannot find contentment in religion. Well, where are you looking? Friends, health, romance, career, fun and recreation? We can't even find contentment in fun and recreation. I just mislabeled then, I think. Okay. We're going to do our own Gallup poll. You, raise your hand if you are very satisfied. Very, 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 very satisfied. Thank you. One. Not kind of satisfied, not meh. Yeah, I'm okay. I'm talking, walking around, telling everybody how satisfied you are. The kind of contentment that makes people say, hey, what's with the weirdo, okay? That person is like the happiest, glowiest, contentest, that's not even a word, I don't think, person that I've ever seen. What is in that guy's coffee, okay? Not a lot of hands, okay? Not a lot of hands. What's that mean? We're not content. We're not satisfied. I read an article from Time Magazine, and it was titled, The Happiness of Pursuit. Yes, I said that right. The Happiness of Pursuit. Now, I'm going to come back to this. We're going to draw a line between happiness and contentment, okay? Because, newsflash, in order to be content, write this down, you do not need to be happy. That sounds crazy. Okay, happiness is an emotion. Content, lifestyle, or even a state. We will come back. The state of being satisfied with where you are right now. Remember what we talked about in our biblical definition. Even if by the slimmest of margins. As emotional beings, we can rely on our emotions too much. We can. I am the most emotional person that I know. You guys saw that. I sat up here and cried after the song. Now I'm yelling. My kids will tell you I am highly emotional one way or the other. I've got a third of my soccer team here. They will tell you that guy yells so much. He is so emotional. We are emotional. Okay? We can rely on those and be impacted by those too much. Back to the article, The Happiness of Pursuit. There's a discussion in there about Americans, our pursuit of happiness, and our inability to catch it. The estimates for how much the happiness pursuit industry is costing us today is in the hundreds of billions of dollars. In order to find contentment, we Americans, Western civilization, culture, spend hundreds of billions of dollars. We try to buy it. We're not content. You know what? We can buy it, guaranteed. You know what we buy? Pills. I'm not content. I need to go buy some pills. Antidepressants and other mood-altering things. That's what we're spending it on. How about food? Okay, we need food to eat. Are we overeating? We might be. We eat too much. We're spending too much. How about self-improvement or self-help products? You want to make $1 million? Just write a self-help book. It doesn't even have to be good. Somebody's going to read it, probably about the people that are spending the billions and billions of dollars, which is us, okay? There's also something called borrowed wisdom. This is what the article refers to that, which is basically some individual or speaker telling you how to improve yourself. So there was the products, and then there's also the speakers for those products, right? Or we're probably going to go use meditation or yoga or buying what you want the most or something, right, to go find a way to be content. There's something called a World Happiness Report. I'm back to happy again, but this is all I could find. Our society equates contentment with happiness, but U.S., not happy. 23rd out of 50 countries ranked. Should that be the case? I mean, we got a lot of money in this country. We should be the happiest. Why aren't we? We'll find out. What are we going to do? What are we going to look at for the real remedy? Yep. I think everybody in here guessed it. the internet. Ah, just kidding. Only if you Google Bible. Okay? Let's go back to these verses again. Philippians 4, 11 through 13. I'm going to read it again. Not that I speak from want. I'm going to remind us again. It's Paul. For I've learned to be content whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means. I know how to get along with little. And I also know how to live in prosperity. I know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being content, of being filled, and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. And I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That famous verse. Now, the last time I spoke, you guys might not remember, I discussed anxiety, our addiction to anxiety. I said it, addiction to anxiety, and God's biblical steps for overcoming anxiety. Guess what? Guess what the verses right after the anxiety verses that I went over are? These ones. These ones. Paul, in these verses, shows us how to overcome anxiousness. Then Paul thanks the Philippians for their gift, they had given him a gift, and their concern. And then he goes on to basically tell them that he's not writing them because he needs anything. The city of Philippi was most likely very prosperous. And historians believe it was probably filled with former military men. This Philippi, he's writing the letter to Philippi, the Philippians in Philippi, was a strong and wealthy area. Probably pretty prideful of their stature. They had stuff, okay? And Paul says, thanks for everything. And I don't need any of it. He's not trying to be rude, okay? He's just saying, thanks, but I don't need it. He's saying, I am content in all circumstances. Read it. For I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. And I talked about this when we did the anxiousness, and I know we know it. Paul, what did Paul have to deal with and be content? Was this guy out sailing boats and, I don't know, making millions of dollars? Was he having fun doing stuff? No. He was writing this letter from prison. When I talked about it in anxiousness, I had this long bullet list of things that happened to Paul. I think, actually, we may go over it. That's coming in a little bit. But Paul had no reason, earthly reason, to be happy / content if you look at it. Okay? But he's our role model, and he's got the secret. And we're going to try to look into it. And I want us to look first, while we're in the whole thing, I want us to look at what contentment is not. Okay? Contentment is not complacency. What is complacency? I'm like the definition man. Being content means being fulfilled or satisfied. Being complacent means refusing to work to improve. When we're content, we are not unaware or unconcerned with those things going on around us. We are aware of them, but we choose not to let them affect us negatively. We can be content without becoming stuck where we are. That's an important distinction, because as we look at Paul's life, we see a man who was, in his own words, content in whatever circumstances. Yet, he did more to spread the gospel than perhaps any other human being to walk the earth. He was content. Does that mean he didn't do anything? No. But let's see what he says in 2 Corinthians 11, 23 and 25. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder. He's content. He has worked much harder. Here's where we go with the list. Been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again.
Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea.
He was content without being complacent.
Okay. Contentment is not happiness. A couple minutes ago, we've talked about it. But we're still going to say, that doesn't make any sense. Okay? Don't I need to be happy to be content? No. Happiness is determined by external factors. As a result, happiness is one of the shallowest, most fleeting, fleshy emotions a human can experience. For someone to be happy, something almost always has to happen. When my salary increases, I feel happy. When my flight departs on time, I feel happy. When my favorite team wins, I feel happy. When my favorite team knocks the ball out of the ballpark with the best draft I've seen in 5 years, I feel happy. Sorry, I had to throw that in there. But how do we feel when the opposite happens? As it invariably does. Lost my job. Flight's not leaving on time. Team stinks. Sad, fearful, stressed, insecure, miserable. Well, let's look at Paul to see if he had to be happy to be content. In 2 Corinthians, he said he's been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely. We just read it. Had a lot of stuff. You think he was happy during these times? No. Contentment is not happiness. Okay? What we're gonna get into here toward the end, we're gonna talk about how to be content. We're gonna figure out what the Bible says about being content. Okay? How can we save our billions of dollars and achieve true contentment? Paul tells us in the verses that he learned to be content. He knows how to get along with humble means and how to live in prosperity. Well, we can't live and be content with more money. I had another survey, but I think I bored us with enough surveys. But they asked everybody, even rich people, what's going to make you more content? You know what they said? If I had two or three times more money, these are already people that we say, I have as much money as them, I'll be. And they say, if I have three times more, I'll be content. No, don't fall for that. Those lies that we tell ourselves that if we just made more money, we'd be content. The truth is, we would not be more content. We would be significantly less content, okay? More stuff isn't going to make us content, but we're going to find out what does make us content, okay? In verse 14, Paul says, I can do everything. 13, through him who gives me strength. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. If you look at the other areas of Paul's writings, what you see Paul doing is striving to do what God has called him to do. Share the news about Jesus. Love Jesus. Share the gospel. It's just that simple. Each of us doing what God has asked us to do and doing those things with God's strength is Paul's secret for contentment. He said, I've learned to be content in every situation. And how? Because I am close to you, Father. I love you. I want to do the things that you have planned for me. And I will do those things with your strength. Do you want to be content today? Do I want to be content? Let's ask ourselves these questions. Am I doing what God wants me to be doing? I mean, really ask yourself. Am I fulfilling God's purpose for my life? Am I more focused on the problem than I am on the problem solver? Am I focused on money, lack of money? Am I focused on depression, the illness? Am I focused on the pain? Don't be. Focus on God. We're just going to bow our heads right now. We're just going to pray. Heavenly Father, we've lost our focus. Forgive us. We need to refocus on you. And we can't do it with our strength. We're not strong enough. I'm not strong enough. We need you. I just want to ask you to be with us. Help us to see, Father, where our focus should be. Lord, I just want to say, we love you. We are sorry. It happens, we lose our focus. We live on this earth. I'm just going to say, if you are in here and you don't know God, I just want you to just raise your hand and I want you to say, God, I want to know you. And if you do know God and you lost your focus, I want you to raise your hand too. And I want you to say, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Okay? I've lost my focus. Father, see our hands. See our hearts here today. Okay? Father, we need your help each and every day, each and every second, each and every minute. And Lord, I want you to help us remember what Paul said about the secret of contentment. The secret of contentment can only be found in you. Let me not look to anything else. Thank you, Lord, for this message. Father, I hope you just use me as a vessel. Help me be small and you be big, Father. I thank you for everyone here, Lord. I ask you to just be with us, Father. Just let us come and love you, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. If the ushers would come up and we can take the offering. And I just want to say, if you want to come up and you need prayer for anything, focus, anything, just come on up to the cross. And somebody in your family will pray with you.
When the music fades, all is stripped away. And I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. Search much deeper within, the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm turning back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry. About you. feeling of endless worth. No one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within the way things appear. You're looking into my heart.
Thank you, Lord. Bring us back to the heart of worship, Father. Help us coming to focus on to the only thing that's important, Lord.
It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to a heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, so, Lord,
amen.
For the thing.
Thank you so much, Father.
It's
amen,
all about
Jesus.
You.
Thank you.
It's all about you, Jesus.
Are you going to do the announcements?
A very powerful message that we all need to hear. I'll tell you what, I'm very content with how the Redskins drafted yesterday. Hopefully they don't mess this one up. But I want to tell you, like, it's so easy to go in life comparing your life to other people that you don't live content. You can look around and literally say, man, I don't have that, I don't have that. And you can just look around and start saying, and compare your life, saying, I don't have any of these things. But when you have Jesus, you have everything you need. He's the supplier of all things, the strength of all things. So I hope today that we have some peace and rest today, and knowing that if we have Jesus in our life, that's the most important thing that we need, because he does deliver on everything he promises. He does deliver. So that gives us hope in a world here in Western culture where we have access to everything. But the one thing that a lot of people don't have is the most important thing, and it is Jesus. Let's share that. They'll be looking at us being like, man, why are you so content? It's because I have Jesus and I know it. We got to know it. We got to walk out here and just be like, I know it down here. Let's stand and let's pray it out. Thank you for worshiping with us today. We are glad that you are here. It's good to see some faces in here, some different faces in here. And we want to pray with you and just send you on your way. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Jesus, for being the great supplier, the source of everything that we need. All the way from salvation to our daily job, to our family, to everything that we have, Lord, that we're going to trust in you. So just as Eric was saying here this morning, help us to just trust in you and give all of our things to you every single day, and just trust that you are going to be the supplier. You will take care of us, Lord, because I know you will. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless us today. Bless our week, Lord. Help us to shine our light into other people's life that need to hear it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.